Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
A story now about the limits of presidential power and the bitter rules of race in the early 20th century America. In 1901, the Civil War was over in name only. Conflict between the South and the North, blacks and whites, was still raging on many fronts. The new president, Theodore Roosevelt, decided to reach out and create a non-racial, merit-based approach to presidential appointments that would elevate talented blacks and whites into his administration, which he wanted to be all about, no more business as usual. Roosevelt reached out to black educator, Southern leader, and intellectual Booker T. Washington, founder of the Tuskegee Institution for Higher Education. A move that would barely deserve a footnote in history, except that it pushed a button in America's racial divide that revived the Civil War for both blacks and whites and put both Roosevelt and Washington unexpectedly on the defensive. The story is told in the terrific new book, Guest of Honor, Booker T. Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, and the White House Dinner That Shocked a Nation. Author and historian Deborah Davis is here and helps us to explore this story. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
So there's all kinds of things to talk about here. Can you just describe the setting and the incident that really provoked so much controversy so long ago?
Well, this is one of those extraordinary, unexplored moments in American history, and it begins so innocently with Theodore Roosevelt scheduling a business meeting with Booker T. Washington at the White House and then thinking, you know, it would be more pleasant to have Booker T. come for dinner. Booker T. accepted, and the men had a very pleasant but uneventful evening, enjoyed their dinner, went their separate ways, and woke up the next morning to find themselves at the center of a media storm. A lowly Washington Post reporter had been going over Roosevelt's agenda and noticed Booker T. Washington's name, that he had had dinner at the White House that evening, sent it out over the wire, and it reverberated like a thunderclap. America was outraged.
Hmm. Now, let's talk about one of the huge ironies here, and one of the key delights in this book is you really set the scene so extraordinarily. With the exception of James Buchanan, the president who preferred white British servants and the staff at the White House, virtually all presidents. I mean, if you walked up to the White House, black or white, as a guest, you would see African Americans, former slaves, or even current slaves if you were in the 1800s, working at the White House everywhere, correct?
Yes, they were present, you know, in every capacity. They were literally standing at the door. Blacks had built the White House. Blacks had served various presidents in all different capacities, had been very close to the seat of power.
Many of them actually wrote stories about it, controversial stories about it.
There was a whole genre of literature that were, you know, White House tell-alls. Elizabeth Keckley, who worked for Mary Todd Lincoln. You know, it was a tradition that was very, very much in force. And you know, it was not at all unusual to see an African American in this particular place.
And the relationship between Booker T. Washington and Theodore Roosevelt had been going on for a while before this dinner was scheduled. Describe the initial reach out to Booker T. Washington.
Well, Theodore Roosevelt had just come home from, you know, being a Rough Rider and fighting in the Spanish-American War. And he had admired Booker T. Washington. Ultimately, he read Up from Slavery, loved it, and called Booker T. Washington to come in and advise him on the race issue.
And in fact, he was modeling things that Abraham Lincoln had done in reaching out to Frederick Douglass.
Exactly. He was looking for a way to really understand what was going on in the South and to find somebody who could give him advice that would be meaningful, and Booker T. was very, very much into the relationship. They both hoped that they could improve this extremely difficult situation in America.
So with all that history, with all that context, how is it the case that when Booker T. Washington sits down at dinner with Theodore Roosevelt in the White House, it pushes a button that sets off a firestorm?
Well, of course, dinner was really a code word for social equality. And this was something that especially the South was completely unprepared to accept. If you had a man sit down at your dinner table, you were then saying that that same man could woo your daughter. It could lead to marriage, horrible thought at the time. And I think it's very revealing to look at the headlines that came out of this incident, because they really say a lot about feelings about race in the country at the time. A United States senator from South Carolina said, and I'm quoting, and I can't actually even repeat some of the language that was in this.
There was N-word all over the coverage
over
of this.
All over the place. It's impossible to say. The action of President Roosevelt in entertaining that blank will necessitate killing 1,000 blank in the South before they will learn their place again.
And one of the controversial issues here that Theodore Roosevelt was trying to deal with was attempting to create a legal framework for the elimination of lynching. This was a debate that was going on in 1901, whether you were pro or anti-lynching. It was an issue in the South. It would go on for decades in the United States. And this was just the beginning of that debate, right?
It was the beginning of the debate. And it was crucial that political appointments at the time be made in a way that fair-minded people, whether they were black or white, Republican or Democrat, were appointed to these positions, so that gradually, you know, there would be more of a consciousness and lynching could be eliminated. Booker T. Washington ran into this all the time. On his way to the White House dinner, you know, he was coming by train from Mississippi, a group of vigilantes boarded the train looking for him to lynch him.
Why didn't they find him? Tell that detail. It's a great detail.
It's a wonderful detail. They didn't think to look for a black man in a private car.
He booked a private
Pullman car, and they were looking for him, you know, in the black car. So they didn't find him.
How did the media behave in all of this?
They were awful. They were paparazzi. They hounded Roosevelt. They hounded Washington. They ran these headlines, and they never let it go. Whenever a black person did something that was considered, you know, crossing a color line, the dinner was invoked again. It was all blamed on Booker T. Washington.
You know, the irony here, or maybe it's just the depth of this history. This incident was referred to on November 4th, 2008, when John McCain conceded to a Senator, now President, Barack Obama, who defeated him in that presidential election. And listen to what Senator John McCain said.
A century ago, President Theodore Roosevelt's invitation of Booker T. Washington to dine at the White House was taken as an outrage in many quarters. America today is a world away from the cruel and prideful bigotry of that time. There is no better evidence of this than the election of an African-American to the presidency of the United States.
What ghosts do you think haunt the Obama family in that White House where this story took place? And, of course, you know, there's an African-American who dines at the White House every single night of the week, right?
Well, that gives me great pleasure, and I'm sure it would have given Booker T. Washington great pleasure, too. Not only does he dine there, he's the host. And I think that is a reflection of tremendous progress. Of course, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, but I think that it's very significant that Obama is there sitting at the head of the table. And
would you agree with John McCain that we are a world away from the cruel and prideful bigotry of that time? Or based on your history, do you think we're closer than we like to think?
We are closer than we'd like to think. But, you know, if there is a very public sign that something has changed, that's definitely it. It's a complex situation, and one of my favorite anecdotes from the original White House incident is something that a white farmer said to Booker T. Washington, and this amused Theodore Roosevelt as well. The farmer said to Booker T., "You are the greatest man in America," and Booker T. said, "Oh no, that would be President Roosevelt. No. Thank you, but you know he's the greatest man." And the farmer said to him, "Well, I used to think that until he had dinner with you."
Wow.
And it just is perfect evidence of the tremendous confusion after the Civil War, 1901, trying to figure out this whole landscape. And, you know, we're still trying to figure it out.
And, in fact, the legacy of Booker T. Washington suffered mightily from the fallout from this, even within the African-American community. It's one of the great stories told in Guest of Honor, Booker T. Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, and the White House Dinner That Shocked a Nation. Thanks so much, Deborah Davis.
Thank you.